to find someone to take your place. It was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what to do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space and all I saw was your sweet face.
This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back, everybody. It's that time of the week, Thursdays at 5. I told you I'd be back. I always am. And thank you so much again for joining me on this lovely Thursday evening. And today we have a very special guest. I'm so excited to have them on the show, Casey Feldman. Casey, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very well, Sam. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. There's so much to discuss, so many songs to show, so many things going on in your life. I feel like as a senior about to graduate, this is really crazy.
It's kind of nuts. I don't like to think about it too much, but yeah, no. Here we are.
Congratulations in advance. It's super, super exciting. So, Casey, a question I always ask my guests to start out the show is just about what it was like growing up where you grew up, what your upbringing was like, and what the transition was like coming to Tufts initially. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So I grew up around Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Nice. Actually, I technically grew up in Furlong, Pennsylvania, but like that's a really just unknown township. But it's right, it's a suburb of Philadelphia, yep, about 40 minutes away. And it was a really nice upbringing. There wasn't much to do, but it was quiet. I could ride my bike around. Lots of crazy shenanigans. I got up with my friends in the neighborhood. We'd often do like manhunt the game like at night and everything with our flashlights and everything. So it was really nice growing up there. Very, very chill. Not much to do. We made up things to do.
Cool.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Tufts, I mean, Tufts is a very different environment, right?
Yeah.
Near Boston. Although I have to say Boston, out of every city I've been to, probably my favorite. Nice, small, clean, not too overwhelming.
There you go.
But yeah, the transition to Tufts was good, I think. I mean, it's always the trouble of, like, when you're a freshman, you don't really, you know, you don't know what it's like living independently. You don't know what it's like living alone. But I think I came in and I've sort of found my place here. And especially I have joined TUTV or Tufts University Television my first semester, and now I'm the president, so obviously that went a little well, just a little bit, just a wee bit, you know.
Great.
It went really well. Like, I have no complaints.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and I feel like that's a bit of a, I always start with that question, but it's a bit of a loaded question, because of course when you're moving to a new place, the transition will be a little daunting at first, but to say you've transitioned nicely into the school and had success here is an understatement. So there you go.
Anyway, let's
before we get into all the TUTV stuff and everything else we're going to talk about. There's so much to talk about. Let's play your first song today. As always with all my guests, the guests bring on a couple songs to share, and Casey brought on a few songs that we're going to hear in just a moment. The first one is Dramadice by Kaylin Mikla. Did I say that correctly?
I don't really know. She's Icelandic, but she's really talented.
Tell me a little bit about this one. Why'd you choose this song?
So I think all of my songs here have a little bit of a theme. I kind of really like retro-inspired songs. So this is like sort of like 80s retro-inspired. It kind of makes me feel like when I play in the car, like a vampire driving, like modern-day vampire driving through the streets at night. I really, really good vibes here. I think it's a little unique song, and I'd love to introduce people to it.
I love it. That's what this show's for, Dramadice. Here we go, everybody.
Thank you.
That was Dramadis by Kaylin Mikla. And yeah, it's funny, like, it wasn't even picking up where this song came from at first on the software that I have to enter in songs on. But, you know, I'm glad that I know that song now.
Yeah, there you go. I like to spread the word.
Exactly. Fantastic. Okay, so we mentioned it briefly before. TUTV, Tufts University Television, is the, like, TV station, but also like the place where student filmmakers and media junkies of all sorts come together at Tufts. And it's a really great place where we do lots of fun stuff. And Casey, you are the station manager, the head of all the operations there.
You bet I am.
Tell me a little bit about how you first got involved at TUTV and what that was like when you were freshman.
Yeah, absolutely. So I learned about TUTV through the club fair in 2019, fall 2019, before COVID. So this is before pre-pandemic times. And I basically was walking around, and I already knew I was interested in film and whatnot. So yeah. I zoned in on this, their poster board that they had, and they had a laptop and they were playing some of their previous films. And what really drew me in was, and I think this is very, very intentional, is that the very first project of the semester is a Halloween project that's completed by Halloween called Horror Fest.
Yeah.
Always a fun time. So you make your own horror film and whatnot. And me, I like my little bit of the horror. So I was really into that. And so I joined and made a kind of bad horror film. It was about like a shadow monster, and it was like a girl walking down a street, and like this shadow person in a morph suit like grabbed and yanked out her like earbuds. I don't know. It was
nice.
It was not my best work, but I was a freshman. That's
what it's what it's for. You gotta keep it going. Yeah.
But yeah, so I have been there ever since.
Cool.
I became the head of the scripted department in my sophomore year. I was the treasurer in my junior year, and now I'm the station manager.
Fantastic. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been involved at TUTV a little bit. I was an actor in some of these horror films at Horror Fest in the fall. I was a part of the Cult Pizza franchise.
Cult Pizza cinematic universe.
And a horror music video. And I gotta say, it was a fantastic experience. Do you have a particular, because I feel like a lot of the films and different things you make at TUTV are kind of clustered in different like umbrella projects, like Horror Fest, Shot Through the Heart, things like that. Do you have a particular favorite film that you worked on when at TUTV, a particular like broadcast, maybe something that happened this semester, a particular broadcast that you really liked? What's a favorite thing you've made with TUTV?
Yeah, I think so. This year we recently started going back into broadcasting.
Right.
Before cable was ripped out of every dorm room, basically we had cable like in every dorm room. You could pay $35 to subscribe to TUTV.
Yeah.
And we would have student shows and whatnot playing, and also movies. I think whenever we didn't have a scheduled show, it just would run movies, which is, I don't know how they dealt with the licensing for that, but that's another story.
Interesting.
But they ripped out all the cable, so it became mostly a film club. And this is especially before the film and media studies program was really established. So everyone would come to TUTV to make films.
Nice.
But with FMS, so for the film and media studies, it sort of was taken over a little bit. Like, so we lost some of our, like, people would go to the film department,
which
is understandable. So recently we've been trying to figure out, like, who are we? Like, what can we do? So we're like, my big campaigning thing when I was becoming a station manager is I'm going to bring the TV back to TUTV.
I remember that, yeah.
So I started the broadcasting initiative. We sort of redid the whole studio, and we put in broadcasting equipment and set it up. I got to give a shout out to my programming manager, Eliseo. He was really great in helping me figure out the broadcasting and everything. He works at ACMI over in Arlington.
Cool.
And has his own broadcasting experience. So it was very, very satisfying, the very first broadcast, just to actually have something live streamed on YouTube, and actually have the thing worked, and that was really exciting. And it was very fun, like when I was back in the control room, just like chatting it up with LSAO and my current head of news, Kelly, who we were all back there. And it just was a really fun experience, instead of like making faces through the control room window and everything. Was just a very gratifying experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so much work has to go into that as well, having worked on live broadcasts and other things like that in the past. Oh my gosh. How do you envision this? I know you're about to graduate, but how do you envision the live broadcast, if you had more time at Tufts, continuing to take shape? Because you've had a couple broadcasts now, right, too?
Yes.
Well, how do you see that maybe continuing on after you graduate?
I mean, I think even we just had our elections, and a lot of what the candidates were saying was expanding it even more, making it even weekly, or even bringing back the time slots and just have it be like a 24/7 running broadcast with several. I mean, of course, like we can't fill all the time, but like there used to be like 2 a.m. broadcast on Saturday morning. So it's like people are might be interested in bringing that back and just being sort of like silly on the show and sort of just doing whatever and having fun. So I think they're slowly going to shift to monthly, and then I'm going to guess weekly. So I'm expecting over the next few years that evolution is going to take place.
That's super, super exciting. It's cool to think that like you could like turn on the TV around in at Tufts maybe in a few years, and just TUTV will be playing on
right
there.
That's how it was.
I know.
And, which is like insane, but like I think it's just like when cable got ripped out, like that was just the end of it, which is really sad. But it's very, very possible that we might be able to talk to some people at Tufts to, for example, in the campus center, like TVs and whatnot, have ourselves put back onto there, because that's what happened. Is that I think like in Hotung and whatnot, we were originally on those screens and in the campus center. So who knows, maybe that'll come back. It's very funny, we evolved away from that, and now inevitably we are coming back, which seems to be the trend of television studies.
That's true. That's interesting. Yeah, great. I could talk more and more about this, but we have so much to talk about. Want to get into another one of your songs, After Dark, Mr. Kitty. Why'd you choose this one? The show.
Oh, I mean, a lot of the same reason. I mean, one of the vibes. I love this song. Also a very good night driving song. I think I have a theme with that.
Sweet.
Also just it's just an excellent song, and I hope people enjoy it.
All right, well, here it is, After Dark by Mr. Kitty.
Sorry.
That was After Dark by Mr. Kitty. I love that song. It really, I feel like it especially fits this time of day, the show, the vibe, just relaxing. We were just talking about just like kind of relaxing after a hard day of work and just coasting along on a night drive.
Oh, yeah. If only it weren't light out now. If only we're in the middle of winter, it would be more fitting.
Well, the big thing about like for most of this semester, for most of the time I've had this show this semester, it has been pitch black in here.
It sounds abysmal.
And I think that song would have been even more perfect earlier in this semester.
Absolutely.
I am really happy it's light out now, but it's going to rain soon. But anyway, enough about that. One of your big things, Casey, that I'd love to take a deep dive into is animation. You're big on animation, animation. So as someone who isn't well-versed in animation at all, basically a complete noob, tell me a little bit about it. Where do I start? What is it like putting it together? Just the nuts and bolts of animation.
Oh, yeah. Well, this I could go on for a long time about, because there are animation. When you say, like, when someone says they're an animator, there's actually several different stages to animation. So it's much like film. There's pre-production, there's production, and post-production. Yeah. So pre-production is mostly like thinking of the ideas, developing shows or movies. Even
right.
I'm mostly interested in television animation. But you develop the show, you write it, you make the storyboards and whatnot, and it moves on to production, which is actual frame by frame animation.
Yeah.
And that's where the rough animation is done and all the clean lines and the coloring and whatnot. And
cool.
Then after that is the post-production. So there's actually film editors who come in and they have to basically composite, which is put all the layers of animation on top of one another and put them in the background and all the special effects and whatnot. And then it's you do the voice acting. Sometimes that comes at the beginning. It depends on what production studio you're at. And then you put in sounds and then it's shipped off and you got to finish show or a movie.
Which part of the process do you find to be most difficult? I'm sure they're difficult in different ways, but is there a part that's been particularly challenging when putting together like an animated piece, and how do you work through that challenge?
Right, I think that production, like the middle section, is the most difficult. I mean, yeah, of course they all have their own difficulties, but especially as someone who, despite being interested in animation, I could never see myself as a frame-by-frame animator because it takes a very specific sort of concentration, a very specific devotion, repeated motions over and over again, and you have to literally make a piece of art with every single frame, and there's around 12 frames per second, so that adds up a lot. And there can be just a lot of unexpected challenges, like especially technical issues. A lot of it is all like based on technology, file management too. Like there's literally jobs where people are meant to just organize files. Which is it can be because if you don't have organized files, that's a huge issue. So in my opinion, that's the hardest. I have so much respect for people who can do animation and can do frame by frame animation because it takes a lot.
What's your favorite kind of animation? I mean, there's 3D animation, 2D, all sorts of stuff. What do you keep coming back to as the one that's like, this is my specialty?
Yeah, I love 2D animation.
Yeah.
There's just something very special about the hand-drawn 2D animation to me. Like, the computer stuff can also have its like really amazing handcrafted sort of visual style, like into the Spider-Verse or the new Puss in Boots movie, where it's just super stylized, super handcrafted. But I think the frame by frame is just, it's a marvel to me because it's like, wow, like you think of a painting and how much time it takes to make a painting, and then you multiply that by thousands and it moves. It's so marvelous to me. I love it. I really hope there's been this whole thing about like 2D animation is slowly dying, but I am going to be part of the group that's trying to keep it alive.
Yeah, there's something very authentic about 2D animation as someone who watches it. And even like, I honestly, some of my favorite animation personally is like in the older days when the frames weren't as streamlined, as clean, and there was something very authentic about it when you saw the imperfections around some of that hand-drawn characters, because you see how much work, honestly. Like, it's great when it looks super streamlined and super clean, and there's something really nice about it in that way, but there's also something very authentic when it's kind of rough around the edges, because it makes you, like, consciously think about how much work is put into it. And I'm sure you've spent hours and hours and hours just drawing and mapping out scenes. And So I feel like people underestimate how much time it takes to put together because, you know, it looks so clean once it's all together. But then I think about like how many frames and how many little movements change in each frame. And
right, exactly. And it's very interesting that you bring that up because recently there's actually been a push, even in 2D animation, to purposefully put in roughness around it. So, for example, they will complete the clean animation and then over top of it, they will actually put the rough animation back in as like a very, like, you know, like low opacity, sort of transparent. Mm. So you see the animators like previous like sketch lines and whatnot, which is really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. What's your favorite? Oh, this is a perfect question. What is your favorite animated show, movie? Like, what's a show you keep coming back to? Is like, that's my kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. So I am admittedly an anime fan.
All right.
So Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is one of my favorite shows of all time. But if you want to go in terms of American animation, the show Arcane by Studio Fortiche, and it's on Netflix, is a wonderful show that sort of dives into, I mean, it's actually, believe it or not, a League of Legends like spinoff show. Nice. I wouldn't, like, I don't think, you know, if I didn't know that, they don't really push it so much. Like, the characters are there, but, like, you know, I'm not a League player. I don't really, like, care about that because the story and the animation is beautiful, handcrafted, painted. And it took them 6 years to make that show, to make 9 episodes. And it's really a testament to how animation is for all audiences. Animation is not only for children, but it's also for adults, and it's equipped to tell its own stories that live action just can't. I think it's a really big testament to that. I highly recommend anybody watch. It's a great, great show.
Are you a fan of Studio Ghibli by chance?
I am. You know, admittedly though, I didn't grow up on their films and whatnot, so I've had to play a lot of catch up.
Yeah.
But I really like, I mean, of course, I really like Spirited Away.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's a wonderful, wonderful movie, but I actually recently watched I had to do a paper on one of the Ghibli co-founders.
Cool.
And I had to watch some of his films. It's not Miyazaki, who's the main guy. It's his partner, Isao Takahata.
Mm.
And he basically made The Grave of the Fireflies, The Tale of Princess Kaguya. Those are both excellent films, but sometimes hard to watch at some point, especially The Grave of the Fireflies, which is about World War II.
Mm.
But excellent, excellent films.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of nostalgic memories, especially with Studio Ghibli and just animation in general. I don't want 2D animation to die either. I really feel like I hope it doesn't. And
no.
I think, you know, there's some optimism with like people like you and like other people who are keeping it alive and recognize the importance of 2D animation as opposed to like all these streamlined, nice looking animation for sure, but there's something you can't beat with just 2D animation in general.
Exactly.
Okay, let's take a quick break, a little more music. I'm going to leave your third song for maybe a little bit later. I'll play a couple songs, mine right now, and then we'll be back.
Nothing left to believe in. Grey clouds stuck to the ceiling. Hypnotized by the lust of life. Blinded by what I'm seeing. Ooh, meant to be my medication. Attributions including patience. Frequently showing empathy. It's a cold war firm in the making. Clashing is a gesture. Showing painful indications of dysfunction. If there is no compromising. No solution. Scream loud when we just talking. And maybe we're better off as friends. You've been pushing me harder, telling me not to create a drama. Was this place the place where we're unquestioning the ground beneath? Too scared to speak. You got me walking on a tightrope. It's been a long time.
been an issue. The playing game's something I'm used to. Never owning your own mistakes. Always trying to play the victim, yeah. Acting different when invested. My brain is something that you mess with. Confusion turns into decay, causing damage that we ain't amending. There's no cure for what this is. No longer my lost the feeling that was divine. You got me walking on a tightrope, tightrope. It's been a long time since we spoke, we spoke. I don't know how you're feeling about. On a tightrope, tightrope. It's been a long time since we spoke. I don't know how you're feeling about me right now, but I know that I need you some way, somehow. You got me walking on a tightrope. It's been a long time since we spoke.
So sad, might leave my nose running. I just hope she don't wanna leave me.
Don't you give me up, please. Don't give up on me. I belong with you, only you, babe. Only you, my girl, only you, babe. Only you, darling, only you, babe. Only you, my girl, only you, babe. Only you, darling, only you.
Something bad is about to happen to me. Why I feel this way, I don't know, maybe. I think of her so much, it drives me crazy. I just don't.
That was Dark Red by Steve Lacy. and that was also Tightrope by Kwaku Asante. And everyone, it's a little late, but basically the midway of the program, and you know what that means. It's the best time of the day. It's PSA time. And as always on the show, I have the guests read the PSA, and Casey here is going to read a fantastic PSA for us today. Casey, what do you have?
When visiting a national forest, seeing a black bear can be a thrill. But if the bear rips through your tent for a granola bar, a carefree camping trip can turn deadly.
No.
You can do your part to reduce black bear encounters by storing trash, food, and scented products such as toothpaste in a bear-proof container, your car's trunk, or high in a tree. Learn more online at fs.usda.gov/NFSNC. This message is a public service of the U.S. Forest Service and this radio station, WMFO. We care about bears and you.
Thank you for that riveting reading of the bear PSA today, Casey. And the minute you were reading that, it just reminded me of the time this random black bear wandered into my town and it just caused chaos.
You know what? I feel like that's like the Northeast experience. I feel like at least once, because that happened in my town too.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, I didn't even think they would get this close to the city because I live in the Boston area. I was like, there's no way that black bears are even like remotely around here.
Oh.
And they just were.
That actually is kind of unexpected.
So that was interesting, but I guess it goes to show you that the wild's getting a little more comfortable with us than maybe we're getting comfortable with them. Anyway, weird tangent, but let's talk a little bit more about animation. Your senior honors thesis is coming up, and tell me a little bit about that. What have you been working on for your senior honors thesis?
Yeah, of course. So I am with the film department, and my thesis is a creative project. So I wrote an animated show. It was an adult animated series. I had to write 3 episodes and develop the season arc. And of course, I drew some art for it. So it's basically, it's intended for adolescents and adults, but it's not extremely gory or vulgar or anything. Mm-hmm. But it basically chronicles the journey of this teenager who lives in this society where everybody has like a personal god that appears in their dreams, and she sort of falls into this cosmic conspiracy. I always love, you know, kind of like mind-bending crazy conspiracy stories.
Cool.
So I'm big into that. But yeah, I just defended it yesterday successfully.
Let's go. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So it's been a lot of fun working on it. This is a project I've been developing for quite a few years now.
Cool.
We tried to do an animated portion with some animators, but unfortunately, tough schedule does not really condone animating in your free time.
What?
But I know.
Aww.
But it doesn't you know allow for it.
Fair
but
enough.
We did make an animatic of it, which is basically animated storyboards. So that's good at least.
That's great.
So we have that at least, and we have a little bit of animation. So maybe over the summer I'll continue to explore that a bit.
So it's called Semblance of Glass. Was there a particular inspiration for this story? Something that from your own life, some show you watched? Where did this all kind of come from in your head as you've been planning it over the years?
Yeah, so the characters actually existed before the story in the world, which is really interesting. I'm always very interested in exploring sort of like, I think like God characters are like really interesting, especially gods who are like also like kind of human, like who are also like humans, and like they have human tendencies and human flaws and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you do when someone with all this great power ends up being flawed just like you and I?
Yeah.
So that's always something that has interested me. And I created a character out of that, and I, you know, created another character who is kind of comes in conflict like with him and whatnot. Mm. Actually, I will actually say as a little aside that Sam here helped voice him.
Yes, I did.
We're preparing some voice acting. Mm-hmm. So for the screening next week, which is really, really
very exciting.
But so it was that. And I've been over the years trying to piece them all together, like little building blocks into a full story and in a world. And I think I recently rewatched the anime I mentioned earlier, Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. And I was like, gee, that is such a well mastercrafted story. That's also based in character, based in a really interesting world. And I sort of thought about, okay, well, what if everybody else had gods who everybody else had very personal relationships with gods in this fantasy world, and how would that look? And it kind of just grew from there. And also it's a question of what if the gods were actually not on humanity's side exactly? So I always it kind of spiraled out from there.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And yeah, it was a riveting reading. We recorded my part this morning on the digital design lab at Tufts, and I'm super excited to see the final product. And what's the date of it again and the time?
May 4th, Thursday at 6 p.m.
All right.
In Barnum Hall, 008.
Well, I don't even know if it's open to the public or not, but shout out Casey on her fantastic final senior honors thesis, Semblance of Glass. I can't wait to see it. Do you think also this is something that you'll continue to work on after the honors thesis and turn it into an full-on animated feature thing?
I would love to turn it into a show. I really believe in the story, and I think people will resonate with it. So yeah. I am interested in developing it after graduation, and my professors and my peers have been a big help in helping figure it out and developing it.
That's super cool. Yeah, I'm excited to be there and see the work in progress, and then when it ultimately turns into the final product, I'll say, I knew you. All right.
Sam, if that happens, but I appreciate the support.
I got you always. Okay, your next song is Solitude, Felsman and Tylee Reinterpretation by M83. Did I say that all right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think it's like a song where it's made by M83,
right,
but
right.
These two other artists reinterpreted it.
Tell me a little bit about why you like this song.
Yeah, so this is also one of those songs that I just I'm the type of person, and I'm the type of creative who I am very inspired by music, and I often think of scenes in my head, and I'm walk down the street, and I'm have my earbuds in, imagining a scene in my head, and this song just evokes a very specific type of feeling. It almost is an existential crisis a little bit, but not in a good way. It's a very powerful song. Or I guess another way to describe it is an astronaut who's floating in space and thinking about their childhood or whatnot, or their past and where they are now.
Cool. So, I'm looking forward to it. All right. Here it is, everybody. Enjoy.
Back to me.
That was Solitude, Felsman and Tiley reinterpretation by M83. Yeah, that was very space-like, psychedelic. That was an experience. I was sitting back. I was just kind of floating. I liked it.
Feels like almost like Christopher Nolan's movie Interstellar. Yeah.
Are you going to watch Oppenheimer, the new one?
Oh, of course I am. There's a whole joke going on the internet right now. It's like, the Oppenheimer movie and the Barbie movie are coming out on the same day. So it's like, are you going to watch opening night of Oppenheimer, Barbie? And I'm like, Oppenheimer.
Me and my friends, what we're going to do is we see Oppenheimer as like the warm up to Barbie. So we're going to do both in the same day. We're going to start with Oppenheimer. Just start off slow and then work into Barbie.
Oh,
all the craziness that'll happen there.
Christopher Nolan is the warm up,
of course. Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So that's the plan. I'm excited for it. All right, we don't have that much time left, and I may want to make sure we address these final couple points here. So, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you are a senior. You're about to graduate. Oh,
yeah.
Sad. Reflecting back on Tufts, what are some of your your biggest takeaways from here, and then let's start with that. What are some big takeaways from your time at Tufts?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I guess this is just from the college experience in general. Just like it's okay to be your own person.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of pressures to be like a certain type of person or whatnot, but I feel like Tufts cultivates like being your own person, realizing that no matter what field you go into, you're gonna have certain transferable skills to equip you in any career. And that's been very helpful for me to realize as a creative and as someone who's doing liberal arts, like I will be applicable and I'll be able to take on a career in any field, really.
Yeah.
As long as I put my mind to it and learn. So
yeah, that's really good advice, especially for the underclassmen out there, including myself.
Yeah.
And how about some immediate goals after graduation? Do you know what's next for you and what's coming up?
There is a strike that is likely going to start on Monday. A writer's strike over in LA.
Uh-huh.
So I'm taking the summer off.
Okay. Sounds
also,
yeah.
To recover
go
a little
off.
Bit
yeah.
after my very crazy college career. But I'm in the fall, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for some animation studio jobs, especially in the entry level side,
cool.
production assistant and whatnot. I'd love to be a writer for animation one day, so who knows, maybe writer's assistant, but
that's
we'll
awesome.
See.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said before, when I see your name in LA on the big animation production company, I'll say I knew you.
Oh, that's...
I'll say it. I said you were on my radio show.
Oh, yeah. You heard it here, folks.
I feel like that's a pretty solid ending. We'll wrap up a couple minutes early. But thank you all so much for joining me as always on The Spec. This has been The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And thank you so much, Casey, for coming on to the show.
Oh.
I'm really happy I got you on right in the nick of time.
Yeah, right in the nick of time. Thank you for having me on, Sam.
Yeah, of course. And I'll be back next week, everyone. Guest TBD, going to figure that out. And I think either just next week or next week and the week after, and then we're out of here. Things are wrapping up here at Tufts. We're almost all going away for the summer. So hope everybody's doing well out there. Thanks so much for listening as always. And I will see you next week. Have a good week, everyone. Sometimes, baby, just give it some
sometime. Oh, honey, now, girl, we can solve them if you'll just give me some time. I can open up your mind if you let shine. You can free your mind, 'cause I know when all that's over, I'll never be sober. I couldn't believe, but now I'm so high. And all that's over, I'll never be sober. I couldn't believe, but now I'm so high. To me, oh honey, now girl, give it one night. If you'll just give it a chance, loving you is not my plan. 'Cause I know one day you'll see all the things that we can be. Oh, nah, no, no.
Far away.